Amen. Thank you, John. Well, I think Chris was going to interview me a little bit and ask me a few questions, but hopefully most of you know who I am now. So I just like
Marcus,
to say,
if you do you want me to
Yep, Chris.
Awesome.
Are you there, Chris?
Sorry, Marcus. I don't know what's got some gremlins in the system. Marcus, tell us a bit about where you're at in life. What are you doing 9 to 5? Your family? Go for it.
So it's good to have you back, Chris.
Thank you.
So yeah, well, my name is Marcus, and for those who don't know me, I was at Christchurch for about 5-6 years, and have been at Ridley Hall Theological College, which is in Cambridge, training to be a priest, or kind of a vicar eventually one day. So yeah, I've been there for the last 2 years and at various different churches helping out along the way. And yeah, so this is me for now. Obviously we have no final kind of last term at college, not physically anyway. So we've been online learning, which has been fun.
What's your favorite pasta shape?
My favorite pasta shape? Oh, it has to be spaghetti, because okay. It's interesting, actually, different types of pasta go with different sauces because the sauce goes in different bits of the pasta. And for me, yeah, spaghetti goes with tuna pasta, it goes with bolognese, it goes with so many things.
Nice. But yeah. For those of you who don't know, Marcus is Italian, so that's the why I asked him that.
I probably told everybody 17 times.
There's so many different types of pasta, but the fact that the sauces work with different types of pasta, mind blown.
Yeah, that's a whole new sermon.
Excellent. I'll be streaming that one. There's probably something theological we could do there in terms of, I don't know, the gospel and types of pasta, but yeah, that's another sermon. You're right. What are you doing then after college has kind of finished this year? What's your presumably curacy going to look like? What's work going to look like once you've graduated, even if you graduate? I don't know.
So, yeah, it's a bit tricky. I think we will hopefully still graduate. So term finishes mid-June. And then we will basically, I will start still the same time, sort of beginning of July. But ordinations have been pushed back to probably the end of September at the earliest. Where I will then become a deacon or a curate, trainee vicar, basically for the next 3 years. And I'll be at St. Mary's Goldington, which is really far away. It's the next door parish to Christchurch. So if you can, find your way there, that's where I'll be.
Excellent. Down the road.
Yes.
Good. Excellent. Marcus, thank you so much for that. I'll hand over to you now. We've had our reading. Go for it. Thank you.
So, hello, Christchurch. It's good to see you all. And anyone else who's joining in for the first time, just to let you know that you really are welcome. And it's lovely that you're here. And in a minute, I will just be talking about a few thoughts about the passage we've just heard in Matthew. But I have to give the same Zoom disclaimer that this is the first time that I have spoken online to all you millions of people watching. So if you can hear me and not see me or vice versa, then I'm really sorry, but I'm sure it'll work fine in the end. It's also nice from a personal point of view to be able to preach in a t-shirt and tracky bottoms, which you can't see. And even though I didn't leave the house, I still felt I needed to have a shower. So rest assured I've done that. But as we come into this passage, it's kind of important, I think, that we address the elephant in the room, which is this whole virus and lockdown. And I don't know about you, but it's been quite a tough period, I think, for lots of us. And it's important that we acknowledge that it is a tough period. For some, I know for myself, there have been times of real kind of joy and excitement, being able to spend a lot more time with the family, as we've all heard, and go on nice walks. And we have that real privilege being just on the edge of Bedford. But I know for some, it's been really tough. I know spending a lot of time with just a very few people in your family can be difficult. It can also be a blessing. It can be tough as we worry about finances or future job security. We're worrying about the health of our loved ones who have got maybe sick, our own health, or maybe some people we know who we really love have died. And that is really tough. I think it's important, though, that we, as Chris was saying earlier, that we try to see what we can learn from this whole period, to see what we have learned maybe from the beginning of lockdown, during and going forward. I think one thing that we are learning as a society, as individuals, hopefully, is how much we rely on each other, how much we rely not just on our friends and family for comfort and support, but how much we rely on others in society that maybe have been deemed people that just have done menial jobs and menial tasks. We rely on them for our very existence. Those of us who have had, in a sense, the privilege of not having to put ourselves on the front line in our work, and being able to stay at home and work, we have really, really relied on people for our existence. We think of postal staff and delivery drivers. We think of NHS workers, supermarket workers, neighbours that we've never ever spoke to maybe. Maybe in the past, society has seen these people merely as just cogs in a big machine to help us get what we achieve. But actually, I hope we're learning that we need each other, that we're built by God to live as a living and loving community working together. That's the only way it works. It's encouraging to know as well that we are not alone, that as Christians, we know that God has called us to love and serve, but together and not on our own. If we aren't Christians, and maybe we're listening today, then know that God's love is calling you into a relationship with him. But if, like me, my seven-year-old son, you have a short attention span, then I'm going to give you the sermon in a sentence, in a nutshell, very short and sweet. And it is basically, God is with us and God is for us. So let's go share this good news together. God is with us. Let's share this good news together. But what has this got to do with our reading we heard today? Matthew 28, 16 to 20. And before we do that, I think we need to just have a look at a little bit of context. So we know that this reading has come at a point in Jesus's kind of story where he's lived his whole life. He has lived and he's died, and now he is risen from the dead. And he's giving his disciples a few last minute pointers before he returns to be with the Father in heaven. And we see that Jesus called his disciples up to a mountain. Matthew 28, 16 says, the disciples went to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. They didn't decide. Jesus told them to go to a mountain. So why did Jesus call them to a mountain? Now, those of you who know your Old Testament, does that ring any bells? Mountain and Old Testament. It's important to remember that the New Testament was written in light of the Old Testament. The New Testament has Old Testament Jewish foundations. Matthew was primarily writing his gospel to Jews. Yes, there were other non-Jews who would eventually read it, like ourselves and others, but Matthew was primarily writing to a Jewish audience. And so he uses big clues from the Jewish story. He uses big clues from the Old Testament. And one of those is this place, a mountain. If we think back to the Old Testament and we think of the Exodus story, when God called Israel out of slavery in Egypt and used Moses to deliver them, we see that Moses in Exodus 19, he's called up to the top of a mountain. And on top of this mountain, God meets him powerfully and speaks to him, and he gives him the Ten Commandments. He meets Israel for the first time powerfully at the top of this mountain. This was a momentous occasion in Israel's history as an infant nation. God reveals himself to Israel and he makes them a nation. He calls them to be an example to others. He calls them to be a blessing and to be a light to other nations. In giving them the Ten Commandments and all the other laws, he was giving them a way to live in harmony with him, with each other, and with the whole world around them, those who didn't know God. So the mountain for a Jew was this original place where they met God, where God's presence was tangibly. And so we fast forward now to Jesus's time, to the New Testament. The disciples and him are on the mountain. To Matthew's readers reading this, and to the disciples themselves who were Jews, they knew that this was a momentous occasion. Jesus had called them to a mountain. They would have been thinking of Moses and God and Exodus. Jesus is the new Moses. Jesus is more than just Moses, though. He is Emmanuel, which means God with us. If we think back to the beginning of Matthew's gospel in chapter 1, verse 23, when he's talking about Jesus as a baby and that he'll be born of a virgin, they say he will be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. That's the beginning of Matthew. And then at the end of Matthew, you have this passage where you have Jesus saying, I am always with you. Again, it's Emmanuel. Emmanuel at the beginning, Emmanuel at the end. God with us at the beginning, God with us at the end of this story. In other words, Jesus said, I am God. Just like God met Moses and the Israelites on this mountain, I too am God. And just like my name, Emmanuel, I will never leave you. Imagine standing there as a Jew, thinking, this is my God. This is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And here he is standing in my presence. And in verse 17 and 18, it says, then all authority, Jesus says, everywhere has been given to me, just like God the Father. And they worshipped him. The disciples finally understood. Jesus is their God. Jesus is God. He's in their midst. They will never be alone. Yahweh is here. This mighty, mysterious, patient God of Israel is standing there in front of them. I don't know about you, but when God calls me to do things, I normally worry and panic first, all these things. But then the more I reflect on the fact that what I am doing, what God has called me to do, I don't do by myself, but he does it with me. Then I just start to get a little bit more courage and a bit braver. God called Moses and Israel to be a light and a blessing to all of the nations around them, to all people. Jesus was calling the disciples to do the same thing in this passage. Go and be a light. Go and be a blessing. Go and spread this good news. I don't know about you, but Christians, we always talk about good news. So what is the good news? The good news is that all people everywhere can come to God. God wants us all to live in relationship with him through Jesus Christ. He wants to guide our lives. He wants to rebuild this world in which he made and which we have spoiled. He wants us to love God and to love others. And that's what the disciples did. They went out. They were a light. They were a blessing. That's why we're here today as Christians. If they had not been the first ones to go out and spread this good news, we wouldn't be here today as Christians. It's a bit like watching Star Wars. You're watching the film and you see all of these Jedis with powers and the ability to control the force, use lightsabers. And you get to the end of the film and you realize you too have these powers, these Jedi powers. All of a sudden, the film goes from becoming science fiction to becoming history, to becoming your story about how you came to be the way you are. That's exactly what this passage is for us Christians. It's our story of how we came to be Christians. These disciples were called to go and make new disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that's what they did. They went out and preached that God is for us and not against us in Jesus Christ. And so for us today, God is calling us to be both a light and a blessing to other people, to help them understand by what we do and by what we say, that Jesus Christ really is alive, that God really is real, that he loves all of us, that he's calling us all into relationship with him through Jesus. That really is good news. But if, like me, you read this and you've always read this in the singular, in the sense of you've always read it as, Marcus, you go on your own and you go and make disciples, thinking that I have to do this all by myself, I get full of dread and I think I can't do this by myself. But when you look at the original language, it's amazing to see that Jesus was actually talking to the disciples as a collective, as a plural. He was saying, you all go together, you all go on this mission and share the good news together, not on your own, but together. So it's encouraging to know that God goes with us when he calls us. And we go also with each other. We should be helping each other together to share this good news, not on our own. So some practical things maybe we could think about whilst we're at home on lockdown, as it eases, whatever the new future looks like. Some things that we can do. We can ask God just to reveal to us something new that we have learnt during this period, something that has impacted us, that we see as important to life, important to our relationship with God, and maybe pray and see how we can use that to share the good news. Maybe we can partner with other Christians and see together, praying with them about friends that we know, neighbours, colleagues, and how together we can share the good news with them. See how you can be a light and a blessing to them practically. When lockdown is eventually eased enough for us to be able to eat together, then invite people out for food, an event, a service, an online service. Share with them your good news, the way that Christ has impacted your life. And for those of you who don't know Jesus, who might be watching today, know that in your own way, out loud or in your heart, you can just talk to God. Talk to Jesus. Call on his name. Ask him to come into your life, to cleanse and forgive you of the things you've done wrong, the things we've all done wrong. And ask him to fill you with that new life. And then let us know that we can then support you as you go on that journey, that new life in Jesus as a Christian. So as we finish, what's important to God now has always been important to God. And that is us. That's people in relationship with him through Jesus Christ. So let's go out together to make new disciples, knowing that Jesus Christ always goes with us. Amen.